Now, for the ones who don't know, you know, I went to the Rocky Mountain National Park to go hiking. Has anybody ever been on a retreat by themselves, kind of a secluded area before? Todd, anybody else? Okay. Mr. Donald. But I didn't know what to expect. You know, I had planned this trip for a long time. I am now officially retired. You know, and you got to do something for your retirement. And I did it mainly because I wanted to stay fit. And about 4 years ago, I went on a hike. And you'll see a picture of what I looked like before I went on that hike. And I was not prepared at all. And I wanted to make sure that I was prepared, that I didn't have to. I had a Garmin device, a little GPS tracking device, and a little SOS button on it. I didn't want to have to press that button, you know, send the helicopters after me. So I worked out, and I trimmed down. I lost like 30 pounds. And it was a phenomenal trip. I thought that would be great just getting by myself, but I didn't never thought it would be such a spiritual connection there. And I think it has a lot to do with that, seeing God's glory. I think the mountains are probably the closest thing that we have to see, to see eternity anyways. So the title of the lesson is Lamp for My Feet, Lessons for Hiking and the Spiritual Journey. And we are all on a spiritual journey. And as I progressed in my stay there at the park, I thought all these different, I think, like parables, analogies, and metaphors of what our Christian walk is like. It's like a lot like a journey on feet when you're actually hiking. And this first scripture that was, I actually didn't think about. Jason, Sherry's son, said this is a good scripture for you to open up with. And it's Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." And you can skip a few times there, Richard. All right, that's good. So I had a time where actually I had to use a lamp. And I end up hiking to a meadow, and the next day I had to meet Julia's sister and her husband down in downtown Estes Park. And Estes Park is kind of like the city, the gateway to the Rocky Mountain National Park. And they wanted to take me out to lunch. So in order for me to meet them in time, I had to wake up like 4 o'clock in the morning and pack everything up in the dark and head down the trail. Now, I had difficulties going up, getting to the campground, just because it was a lot of steep hills, a lot of rocks, and a lot of uncertainty. And thinking that I would have to go back with just a lamp on my head made me nervous. Because the last time I went hiking was 14 years ago at the same park with my father. And since then, I really hadn't really been on any overnight hikes before. So I packed everything up around 4 o'clock in the morning and I put the lamp on. And I discovered that the lamp was such help because I was focusing on the trail in front of me. A lot of times things that are surround you can be a big distraction, right? So that's how I thought of God's word in our life and how we're surrounded by noise that distracts us. And the light makes life so much more easier. And the light doesn't have to be a permanent light, although it could be. But sometimes you just need the word in your life to sustain you until you get over the little hurdles, over the little rocks, and you know, go by the little cliffs that you might be going over. And it's really a great assistant, isn't it? Having God's word in your life. And there's a lot of words just sprinkled through the Bible. You can go to the next one. It says, John 8, verse 12 says, Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 says, His light overcomes darkness. I think we've all been in a dark room before. and you just see a flicker of light, and how that overpowers the darkness, right? You're able to get to your destination, which is probably just on the other side of the room. His light pulls us out of darkness. Walking in the light brings fellowship, doesn't it?
Yeah,
sure does. He fulfills prophecy as the great light. The Lord is my light and salvation. And the revelation is the Lamb is the lamp of the new creation. And so you can't go on your journey without a good light. Now, you might be able to for a while, but I think we've all been there before when we didn't have the light and then darkness takes over. And that bit of light is such a great assistant to help us get through the darkest times. So point number two is comfort quietly becomes our greatest obstacle. Comfort quietly becomes our greatest obstacle. And I was bicycling to the coffee shop. I knew I had to do a sermon this week. And I don't know what to write. And then I was listening to this interview with Mike Lowe from the program Dirty Jobs. I don't know if you're familiar with Dirty Jobs or not. But he's quite a philosopher. And he talks about fighting your comfort and how comfort quietly becomes our greatest obstacle. If you want to grow in any venture, you have to get out of your comfort zone. And there's no one likes their comfort more than I do. I love my comfort. And so when I think of someone who fought their comfort, there's a lot of different people. But for some reason, I guess because I took a, I forgot what I was going to say. I did a sermon on Zacchaeus, and he's always kind of stayed with me. And Zacchaeus, if you don't remember, he's a tax collector. Not only was he a tax collector, he was a very short tax collector. And so he probably had some insecurities. No one liked him. And he was probably a good 3 to 4 inches smaller than most people. And he had to climb up a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Now, I mean, he could have been afraid of heights, but I don't think it mattered. I think his curiosity just overwhelmed whatever fear or insecurity that he might have, that he wanted Jesus. So he got out of his comfort zone. And can you go back one? So the people on the right, the one in the middle is Julia's sister, Sally, and that's her husband, Phil. And when they met me for lunch, when I was able to get there to Estes Park early, and I went to the Starbucks to recharge my batteries, literally my batteries for my phone. And they came into Starbucks and they said, you know what, if you want, if you're getting tired of this, you're welcome to come home with us for 2 days, and then I'll take you to the airport.
Wow.
And I already had been sleeping on the ground for over a week, and that temptation was there. Yeah. The temptation was there. I have this air mattress that I love, but nothing like a real mattress and hot food. You'll see a picture of how I ate during my trip. And we were going up on the shuttle to Bear Lake, where the trailhead was, and if you don't know anything about Rocky Mountain National Park, during sometime around 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, they have thunder showers. And I had my pack on, I had my tracking poles up, and I could see over the horizon there was these thunder clouds coming my way. And I was thinking, oh man, it's so easy for me now to give an excuse saying, well, you know, the thunder clouds are coming. I'm going to have weather. I have every reason not to do it. I could I already been for 10 days. What's the last 2 days, you know, just hiking, you know? I just skip it, you know? And then a part of me was saying, now, if I do stop, I know I will really regret stopping. And I know I really regret it. And I just thought, that's a lot like our walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. Knowing there is something in the next, you know, over the horizon for us that's waiting for us. I know it. I know for each one of us who still walks in the faith, there's something great. If we just get through the storms. And the storm was not that bad. Sometimes, you know, the storms look bad, but they're really not that bad. So it's really important to stay on the trail. Now I have, if you can go on the next one. Now this picture here, if you don't know, I was in a hiking accident when I was 22 and I had my foot crushed by a boulder. And I was just praying the whole time that I would not have to worry about boulders. But here's a boulder field, and there's a trail going right down the middle. An area I'm concerned. I took a picture and sent it to Julia. You know what I'm saying? I got boulders here. And I didn't hear any of them shift or anything like that, but I said, if all I need to do is make it to the other side, and that's what I did. So I sucked it up and went to the other side and made it. Okay, go to the next one. Now, this is Zacchaeus' journey out of comfort. Now, so he could have stayed at home. The crowds were blocking him. The temptation to just stay at home would have been great. But he didn't have any hesitation. But his curiosity was really greater than any kind of fear or insecurity that he had. And that's what we need to be curious of what Jesus has for us. And go ahead and go to the next picture. That's a bear canister, and that's what I ate during my journey. And you're like, what in the heck is that? Yes. Was I didn't want to bring it looks bad, but it does not taste that bad, believe it or not. It's just cold soaking. I used couscous, you know, and dehydrated beans, and I didn't bring a stove because I was worried about carrying a lot of weight. You know, I was going to this ridge like 12,000 feet high. I didn't want to carry a lot of weight, so I decided just to do cold soaking. You know? So I had a peanut butter jar. I mixed things up, and I just thought, you know, this is like our walk. We just need things to sustain us, right? We just need things to sustain us, and that's a bear a canister. Go ahead and go to the next one. Now this is point number three, and you can see my right foot there. You really can't tell, but there's a crease up here. It goes here, right here, right there. And that's where my right foot, that's where I don't have any toes in my right foot, right? I have a prosthetic. And starting on the right foot is very important. And because God gives us all kinds of weaknesses. But he also gives us strengths as well. And you have to make sure that you go on your best foot forward. I notice for myself, if I take my best foot forward, meaning it's secure, it seems like the rest will go well. If I start off poorly, like if I stumble and fall, or stumble without falling, I start getting insecure. So it's really good to start with your best foot forward. And so what I do in the morning, I acknowledge him. I acknowledge the Father. And then I read my Bible and I pray to him. And that's the best way to start my day is with my best foot forward. And with what God has given us, whatever God has given us. So it's really important to acknowledge him. And in Psalm 5, verse 3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice, and in the morning I lay my request before you." In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen? And many times, like, what do I pray? What do I say to him in the morning? Well, if you look, go ahead, and you look, and you can just say, here I am. Make a statement saying, here I am. I'm going to give it to you. That's the most profound statement someone can make early in the morning. You look at the people like you got Abraham, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, Isaiah. They all said, here I am. They made themselves available to the Father. And now you say, well, what about God? What does he care about? Well, he says it too. He says in the Bible, not in one sentence, he says it twice. In Isaiah 65, verse 20, he says, I said, here I am, here I am. He said that, you know, to the Israelites who were worshiping false idols. And he was just saying, hey, me, look at me. And so he, you just think about the span of history, he has gone more than, you know, that than anybody on earth would, so he could have a relationship with us. So point number four. Oh, let's go back one. Okay, go for it. Okay. All right. This, I'm going to share the scripture in 1 Peter verse 4, 10. Says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, and again, it goes back to where our bodies. If you look, you know, we all have lived a long life. We all have battle scars. You know, we could look under, you know, we have all been injured in life, whether physically or emotionally. And he just wants us just to go forward with the things that we have. So go ahead and go to the next one. Okay, point number four. Now, this woman here, it turns out she was Amish. She was like with her Amish family to a lake. You see the long blue dress on. She wasn't wearing Lululemon. She wasn't wearing the latest hiking outfit. She went, and her family went with what they had. So the husband had this long Amish beard and overalls, and it looked like he just got out off the tractor. And all the kids had these plaid shirts. They were all dressed like, you know, very nicely, you know. And they all went to the lake together, what they had. So let me ask point number four of them. Okay, so let's go to point number five. Go to the next one. So this is me when I was heavier. My wife sent me that picture, you know, and she texted to me with a message saying, you know, I loved you when you looked like that. And I was saying that, thank you. You know, it's very nice. But that week, we went to Rocky Mountain National Park it was a family reunion at a resort town. I can't remember it. But we decided to go on a hike, a day hike, to a peak. I think it was Long's Peak. That's a little over 14,000 feet high. And I thought you know, sometimes you have this mentality that you're younger than you are. And I didn't make it. I had to turn back. And it was because I was not prepared. I was not prepared in any way to. And I decided I wanted to go hiking was like 10 months before I retired. And I went to Amazon, and I went to, I did all the pricing. I spent hours and hours and hours just finding the right equipment to use, to the point, you know, the last day, the only thing I hadn't used once was my trowel, okay, and my little toilet paper. You put a little water on it, and it expands. It's awesome. I hadn't used it. I was very proud of myself. But the last morning I had oatmeal, and I ended up using everything on that trip. So you need to be thorough when it comes to be prepared. So are we spending, and I think it just comes down to time. You know, quantity time anytime is quality time. We need to spend more time with Him. And so when you're prepared physically is fine, but we have to prepare ourselves emotionally. And I'm just going to read this scriptures here. Be prepared to give an answer with clarity and respect. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts reserve Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who's asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I mean, it's good being a scholar, you know. I wish I had more knowledge about the Bible, but I could know the Bible back and frontward. But if I don't have that gentleness, I don't have the emotional, you know, attractiveness, I'm not going to attract anybody. I'm not going to please anybody, especially right. God, you know. So we have to not only know the word as best we can, but we have to do what it says. We have to emulate His Son. So and also now that is the YMCA there. Now when you think about the YMCA, you think of like one single parking lot where you go to do whatever, some workouts and leave. But this YMCA was a huge facility, and I needed to get some advice. And I didn't know who to reach out to. And what was great is that there was this guy that was very knowledgeable about the area, and they had a wall climbing thing for kids. It was really, really great. So point number six. If you're still on the trail, the summit is still possible. And that's important, is to stay on the trail. Now, there's a lot of different trails to your destination. Now, this is me, a little bit lighter. It's not Long's Peak, but it's a pass that's like a little over 12,000 feet. And I was determined. I was climbing up to the ridge, and I said, I don't care what time of the day it is. I don't care. I got my lamp. I got food. I don't care how long it takes me. If I have to stop every 5 feet, I'm gonna make it. And I was determined. This is a big smile on my face. And a lot of times you'll see pictures of me, and I'm not particularly really that happy because I'm like either hungry and tired and sweaty. But the joy of making it to where the destination, to the top where I wanted to go, brought me a lot of joy. And So sometimes it's good to isolate yourself. This is another scripture I want to go over, another point. And go ahead and go to the next one. Yes. In Joel 2:25, what's great about the journey that we're on is that you get to have the years that were lost in some way redeemed. Either you help someone with an experience that you had, and it really helps you see the bigger plan. And this is that's bridge is a picture of when I went hiking with my father. He was stood on that bridge, and it just me going there reminded me a lot of my father. Just seeing that bridge. I just had to take a picture of it, and I texted to my brother, and I said, this is where my dad, you know, our dad stayed, or stood, you know, during the hike. And in that moment, I felt like, you know, a moment was restored. And that's what's great about our journey. A moment that we spend on the trail is not wasted, even though you might think it might be. God has a greater plan for us. Okay. and using those moments of sweat and toil, you know, that we might go through. And that's it. Let's go ahead and pray for the juice and bread.